Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Monday morning on the old Rod Peterson Show for July 22nd. We're in the bunker from sunshiny Saskatchewan, Canada. Episode number 36 of the program. We were asking, what's your favorite number 36s in sports all time? Dupes, man, you are the winner there.
Nailed it.
Jerome the Bus Bettis. You nailed it. I didn't think anybody would get the bus. Matthew Barnaby for hockey. And it was a Facebook reader that said,
Brian,
how did we forget David Ridgway?
Robo kicker.
The Liverpool, England product, and the guy that kicked the winning field goal in the 1989 Grey Cup, the greatest Grey Cup ever played. We're recapping week six in the CFL. We're talking about Beyond Meat. We have a daily poll question, and that is, who won the Oilers Flames trade on the weekend? The Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll. The Flames or Oilers, the Milan Lucic for James Neal trade, I'm saying they both lost. 84.9% of respondents saying the Edmonton Oilers won the deal. And of course, coming out of week six, the Riders are now 2-3. They beat the BC Lions here 38-25 Saturday night. The Lions fall to 1-5. And the two teams will meet at BC Place this upcoming Saturday afternoon. Our West Coast correspondent joins us, Travis Lule, bound for the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, joins us from the Lions Surrey practice facility. Good morning, Travis. How are you, sir?
Happy Monday, guys. I'm all right. How are you guys doing?
Hey, good, good. You know, with this new role of yours, did you travel? Were you here on the weekend?
No, I was not. I have not traveled to an away game yet. I've had weekends at home in the summer, which feels oddly very strange still to me. But good. No, so I wasn't in Regina.
Probably why Kevin Glenn's like, I'm not coming out of retirement. I like this too much, is what KG's telling us.
Yeah, he's having fun. I see his social media feed. He seems to be smiling aplenty.
Yeah. Travis, your compadre, your colleague, Mike Riley, was not. What was your take on the football game here Saturday night?
Well, you know what? I thought it was a lot better effort, particularly from the offensive side of the ball than the previous game, right? In the Edmonton game, those guys got beat up and the offensive line was much maligned. And I know there's still some criticism of the offensive line, but, you know, to be honest, there's two all-stars out of the starting lineup. Hunter Stewart had back spasms. J.S. Waugh ended up leaving the game. Philip Norman was making his first start. And frankly, outside of kicking field goals where they had opportunities to score touchdowns early in that football game, the production was relatively good on offense. There was 465 plus yards of offense. Mike threw for 340, completed 70%, right? So, you know, they won the time of possession. So there's a lot of things that you look for in terms of an offensive line group. I think Brandon Rutley averaged around 6 yards a carry. So if the O-line's playing garbage, you can't produce those numbers. So those guys, I thought they battled through some injuries and were better. But again, the takeaway is, a couple big things from the game were not scoring touchdowns when they had opportunities early in the football game. Obviously, there was a special teams momentum shift right before the half that I thought was really big in this game. And then the fourth quarter Saskatchewan offense just kind of won the quarter, won the game.
Travis Taylor Shire here. In talking with Cody Fajardo this year, since he's become the starting quarterback for the Riders, he credits guys like you and guys like Ricky Ray for showing him the way in terms of what it takes to be a starter in the CFL. What have you seen from him so far this year, and what makes you think he can be the next star in this league?
Well, For one, this last game was really important for Cody Fajardo, and it didn't come at a good time for the Lions to see Cody bounce back so well. But coming off your first real adversity as a pro, and you know, I had even spoken to Cody after those, you know, his those two games. He had huge games, and then there was a disappointing effort at home, right, where Calgary beat up on Saskatchewan, and you know, the quarterback gets some of the credit for that. I think he threw a pick six in that game, or the blame, I should say, right? So to go into a bye week coming off of that kind of performance, and then to respond, and Cody played a very good football game, I thought. You know, he averaged well over 10 yards per attempt. You know, sometimes we get enamored with the final number. I think he, because his stats showed, what, 275, two touchdowns, two picks. Cody fell victim, by the way, to what I think is the worst statistic in football, is giving a quarterback an interception if you throw a pick on a two-point play. You have to make an effort to throw the ball into the end zone, right? That's not a normal interception, but it still goes on your stats that way. It should just be a team 0-for-1. That's a whole other story. But I thought it was really important for Cody to come back and respond. And that's, frankly, that's how you win guys over, like really win guys over in the locker room, is when you battle through a tough spot and everyone's in there with you, and then you come back and say, I'm going to show up the next week. So Cody did that. And so that was really important for him, and, you know, still being a young tenured guy in his starting role.
Travis Lulay, our West Coast correspondent, with us from the Lions practice facility. I know Gary Echeverry watches every day. You would know Etch, the longtime CFL defensive coordinator from his home in Washington. Yeah. He has long told me that offenses sort of choke up when they get in the red zone. And I just look at what the Lions did the other night with Sergio Castillo, four field goals. Since you're quarterbacking it all, what changes when you get in the red zone for an offense? Mentally or playbook-wise or what have you?
Yeah, no, so, you know, there does need to be, call it a red zone mindset. It ought to shift, right? And the margin for error becomes smaller, the field's a little bit tighter. Obviously, there's still room to operate in the CFL. But it really should be distinctly different offensive football and mindset when you get down there. And, you know, you got to credit the defense too, right? Like the defense obviously changes. Once the opponent gets into the score zone, it's no longer as acceptable to give up 5 or 6 yards, because those are huge yards when you get down inside, say the 15-yard line. So there is a little bit different. You always see it every single breakdown, film breakdown you get. There's a little bit a different percentage of, say, man coverage or pressure or whatever it is, to do whatever you can to keep the opponent out of the red zone, or out of the end zone. So there's kind of a game within the game that exists outside of just the normal 20-20 offensive and defensive play calling. So yeah, it was unfortunate, particularly in hindsight, for the Lions. I mentioned all those yards that accumulated by the end of the stat sheet. You know, you don't feel great about it when you end up kicking field goals. And I specifically remember a 2012 Western final that we lost at home against Calgary. We kicked 6 field goals in that game. And you say, and you know, we lose the game by 5 points. You say, if one of those, you know, two of those times we're down there, where the game's entirely different. So, you know, that's hindsight again. But I know that's something that they're going to be really mindful of going forward. You can't have wasted opportunities when you get down the red zone, because frankly, in the CFL, you don't know how many shots you're going to get. If you have 3 chances in the red zone the first quarter, you might not get down there again until the fourth quarter, right? So if you know, coming away with, you know, 20 plus points is a lot different than, say, 9 points. And that's where the Lions sat.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, now getting ready for, you know, the same opponent in back-to-back weeks, what changes? How do you move forward, and how do you kind of early on start looking at next week or this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you have no choice, right? I think the big picture thing here is, you know, right now, I mean, you guys felt it. There was very much a sense of desperation, almost a must-win thing. You're playing a home-and-home. You're playing a one-win opponent in your division, and you're playing at home. You know, this is that was the one of the three games between the Riders and Lions this year that's going to be played in Regina, right? So Rider Nation needed that win, and the team showed up and got it done. So now can the Lions do the same? Backs are completely against the wall, right? The team's 1-5. This wasn't the vision for anybody, but there is still plenty of football left, but you got to get it going now. And you know, in the case of the Lions, they've already lost what would be potentially a season series tiebreaker to the Edmonton Eskimos. And a loss against the Riders this week would mean the same, though. You'd lose the season series to Saskatchewan right off the bat. A win against the Riders this week, and now you have the same number of wins. You play them one more time later in the season, and it's back at BC Place, and you get a little bit of momentum going into a bye. So there's a ton of reasons the Lions ought to be motivated to win this football game outside of just the pure record. But it is always kind of a unique thing when you play this back-to-back scenario because, you know, like I mentioned, there's a lot of good things in that football game, but at the end you're going, we still lost. We didn't win the fourth quarter, the critical time of the game. We gave up a big momentum play on special teams, which has been a little bit of an Achilles heel of the Lions team so far. So there's things that are really important that's going to need to be corrected. You can imagine they're going to put in a little, maybe an extra red zone period or two this week. And Jay Jack will be doing everything he can to dial up red zone offense to make sure those threes turn into sixes. But yeah, it's, like I said, it's always a unique thing doing this back-to-back thing. Cause what worked well last week might not work well this week. Cause you might get some different looks. And so it's the game within the game. The Riders have to feel good about the way they ended the game, but there's some things they're going to want to do better. Right. And so, you just really have to, In my experience dealing with these back-to-backs, you have to get really internally focused and worry more just about what we're doing in our room and then worrying about, oh, well, they might do this or we beat them on this, so they might have some – don't worry about that so much as to make sure you know what you're doing, you feel good about your plan going in.
I could go on all day about this. I love hearing from you, Travis. I'll just ask one more about the 2011 sure. Lions. They're the benchmark, right? Everybody talks about it across the league, about the 1-5 team that rebounded. It was your coming out party too. But I remember so distinctly, you signed, I wrote about this yesterday, Tad Cornegay and Arlen Bruce III. And maybe there was more, I don't know, but from the outside, that's what it looked like, just sparked you guys and took you over the top. But if the old line's the problem, I don't think there's any hoggies sitting on the street. Like the same formula then, I don't think is going to work now.
No, but the thing that you can take away from that is that it wasn't dramatic wholesale change that made a big difference for us, right? You mentioned the two guys. Those were the two guys that we brought in. Later in the year, we brought in Kareem Smith to be another rotational piece on the defensive line. But what bringing in Tad Cornegay allowed Corey Banks and Ryan Phillips to move back to their more natural positions that they played historically. And then on the offense side of the ball, Arlen Bruce, he became such a nice complement to G-Roy because that year it was G-Roy and four younger guys in the other receiving spots. So once Arlen came in, it made Sean Gore a better player, made Marco Iannuzzi, Keem Foster better young player. So that was really it. And then Khalif Mitchell came off, who was on our team. He was in-house, but he was on the practice squad. He came in and started making hay on the defensive line, right? So those were really the changes. Other than that, we kind of stuck to the game plan and pulled through the muck. And it takes so much mental and emotional courage or strength to be able to say, you know, we still like a lot about what we're doing, even though we haven't got the end result. So there's an element of that here that, you know, look, it is different. The scenarios are a bit different. But you can't just go, oh, we got to cut half the starting offense and bring in another six new guys and the same on defense. That's not how you make change, particularly lasting change like we were able to do in that 11 season. So I'm curious. They're going to have a few tweaks, I'm sure, that are going to be working to find those things that just spell the chemistry that they need to find some wins. But it's certainly time to see some of those things happen.
Travis, it's just a treat talking CFL with you. Thanks for this, and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Love it, guys. Always do.
All right. Our West Coast correspondent, Travis Lule, out in Vancouver. And two things. One, my Lions fans' friends, one of which is Greg Mayer, the therapist for the Pats, says, you guys talk more Lions than the Vancouver media does. So that's cool. Rod Peterson Show, making the CFL great again. And the other thing that I kind of scratched the surface on in the opening segment was the Lions fans that were here on the couch the other day. Do you know what happened to them?
No.
One had his hat, well, the same guy, he had his hat knocked off by a Rider fan and his beer intentionally kicked over by a Rider fan at the game. You're looking at me.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I wouldn't want it to happen to me. I warned them. Listen, it's a mean place for a visiting fan. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. It's just be on guard. Okay? And secondly, don't be mad at all Rider fans because all fan bases have idiots. So don't paint him. Like, I've been going around and around and around on this for decades in my role. I've had it happen to me. I've seen it happen to Rider fans. How about that 9-year-old kid in Winnipeg that got assaulted at the Banjo Bowl, and the kid was from Winnipeg. He just happened to be wearing a green shirt. It happens. And for me to go on here and even ask you guys to implore people to smarten up at games, it's not going to matter, especially when you get a couple bowls of loudmouth soup in them. What do you think? Am I off target on this?
Nope.
There's 31,995.
I got it written down.
Respectable.
31,602.
Sure. So then 31,601. And one person ruined it for somebody else, right?
I agree.
Oh, Travis is watching. Travis Lule is watching and says, for what it's worth, my wife had a great time in Saskatchewan wearing Lions gear a couple years ago. But that's my point. Don't paint everybody by that. You know that the folks that were here weren't stirring up trouble. They were so excited to go to the game. I saw them at our tailgate party, and then this happened. So it's unfortunate. Yeah. But I just hope you realize it's not an accurate depiction of the Rider Nation. Is that fair?
That's fair.
And I'll also say our tailgate party, speaking of, and thanks again to your sister for coming down and the Riot players for helping us out at the Rod Peterson Show tent. I didn't know there was going to be truck pulling.
That was cool.
Did you know that?
No.
I didn't even know. I show up and the Army guys, well, they weren't actually, well, some were Army guys, but some were just local strongmen. Pulling 30,000-pound artillery carrier trucks. Pulling them.
That's cool.
One at a time. Like one guy and some girls.
Yeah. I mean,
it's... Do you know Canada's strongest woman lives in Regina?
It's so cool. It's so cool. And I used to watch it on TV, and they got the rope, right? And they're pulling these trucks.
Unreal. It was so much fun.
I've always wanted to do it, but it's like I can barely push my vehicle out of the mud when it's stuck. Like, and I've done that every year, right? I know what they feel like, but I just
The elation.
Yeah.
I think we got to rethink this, Army guys, because you weren't there, Dupes, but you can ask your sister. Everybody piled over to where the truck was, right in front of the garrison, right in front of the Army, and nobody was buying beer. It was a hot day, and I'm like, I think this is hurting beer sales. So I don't know how this is going to be worked.
We got to have the beer over there, maybe.
We got to maybe move the beer over. I don't know.
But
it was a hot day.
The attention that got was cool, and that just kind of gets me excited. I know we're not going to tease too much, but it gets me excited for what we got planned for Labor Day.
Yeah, but the next home game, which is August 1st, who are they playing?
Hamilton.
Hamilton, yes. Tiger Cats, going to be another truck pulling contest. So the Army guys made that very clear to me. But they were out on the street waving people into the tailgate. The actual soldiers were. So that's how proud they are of the tailgate party that they do. And it's so nice that they would invite us in to be a part of it. From Ty on the Facebook feed, Jess Theaker, Canada's strongest woman. You guys should get her on the show. I agree. Mondays usually are the female day, by the way, if you've noticed. Not with you, Taylor.
Today is
Jackie just Perez.
We're both wearing the the pink shirts. Yeah.
You guys look like a couple Easter eggs on here. Jackie Perez and Amanda Ruler. Yeah. That's what's awesome about this show. People were writing me afterwards saying, "Didn't know Amanda. Didn't know her story." This is great that you're doing these interviews with these people. And then my niece telling me that Amanda's training her off-season training for hockey. Amanda didn't bring that up.
That's cool, too.
But apparently Amanda thought that Sydney was my daughter. Mm. And I said, tell her that you can't get that lucky. Her dad didn't like that one. Facebook feed, just before we roll on the Travis Lule thing. Dan writes us. He says, Lule's being too humble. He replaced Jarius Jackson, and that was the real game changer for them. That was one of a few things for the 1-5 BC Lions that year.
I did want one comment on Travis's to wrap up his interview before we go to break.
Yep.
Is when you're looking at BC and being in such a difficult situation, the one thing that I will say is when you've got maybe the best quarterback, the best healthy quarterback, yeah, as healthy as Riley might be, getting hit as often as he does, but when you've got a quarterback like that, you've always got a chance. So that's why the Lions have an opportunity to climb out of this towards the middle third of the season and get back into contention because they've got Mike Riley.
How about the leadership that he showed?
Staying in the game?
And whether that's a good thing or not, but Devon Claybrooks wanted to pull him from the game in the fourth quarter, and Riley said, no, I'm not leaving my teammates out there. I'm staying in the game because all my teammates are staying in the game.
Couple different schools of thought on that, obviously.
He got a $700,000 quarterback, pull him, because he took a couple more hits, even in the, because they kept throwing the ball even in the fourth quarter. But the leadership that showed me that the guy, the star quarterback, wanted to stay in the game to not let his teammates hang on.
Put away the fine china when the kids are having a house party. Is that kind of the idea? Everything's going, you know, the wrong way and we got to protect them. But it was cool that he stayed in.
Is there a term more severe than must win? Like absolutely paramount win? Like what would be more severe?
Until
more
important? It's a mathematical must win game. I don't think it's, you can say must win, but elimination until you mathematically game. Get elimination. Yeah. Elimination game. I guess
it's tough because
this Saturday for the BC Lions, if they lose, the Riders might clinch. Like that 1-6. I know mathematically they won't, but come on.
When we look back,
this is more than must win.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an elimination game, so that's what's bigger.
But it sort of is.
When we look back in week 20, it'll be, oh, yeah, there.
Well, pause. It is episode 36 of the program brought to you from the bunker today out of sunshiny Saskatchewan, Canada. On the way, Lions alum Dante Marsh and more of your questions and comments. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and podcasts at Spotify and Stitcher.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Employer pricing is back.
It is the best time to buy right now.
You pay what we pay.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to work here.
Check out this all-new 2019 GMC Sierra Double Cab. Its employee price is just $42,472 plus tax. That's only $138 per week. Plus, eligible Costco members receive preferred pricing on select vehicles and a $500 Costco cash card. Or take advantage of 0% financing up to 84 months.
You pay what we pay!
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. For some reason, the Wi-Fi has gone down, so I'm going to read the morning sports from my brand new phone from Prairie Mobile.
What'd you get?
I'm loving this thing. Woo!
What'd you get?
I don't know.
Apple? iPhone?
It's an iPhone. I am never straying away from Apple. Ever. Never.
Come on.
Nope. I love this phone from Prairie Mobile. You can't get it from me. And I'm going to read the sports update from it. The Toronto Blue Jays are back at Rogers Centre tonight to kick off a six-game homestand with a game against the Cleveland Indians. Lefty Ryan Baracchi. Doesn't he work here?
Baracco.
Oh, Baracco.
Baracchi.
This is Baracchi. Is scheduled to make his season debut for the Jays. Toronto coming off a 10-day road trip. It's a matchup of American League division leaders in a potential playoff preview tonight when the New York Yankees visit Minnesota. After a 7-3 homestand, the Yankees have a 9-game cushion in the AL East over Tampa Bay. The Twins are 3-up on Cleveland in the AL Central. And it's a rest day at the Tour de France. Frenchman Julian Alaphilippe. Did I say that right, Taylor? Has the leader's yellow jersey after the first 15 stages of the premier cycling event. Tomorrow's stage is a 177-kilometer flat loop beginning and ending in Nîmes. I get tired after driving 177 kilometers. Imagine riding it on a bike. Good luck. Oh, Brian's watching from Vancouver from the BC Lions podcast. He says this, yes, this is a must win for the Lions for this reason. They've already lost the season series to Edmonton, and a loss on Saturday gives the season series to the Riders. They can't climb out of that unless both the Eskimos and Riders have a collapse. Not likely. Not likely, but possible. Like Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance, right?
Yep.
If Trevor Harris got hurt, if Cody Fajardo got hurt.
That's the only thing, is that we throw around must win too much. So there has to be something worse than that. I just don't know what we call it. What do we call it?
Elimination.
An elimination game.
It feels like a must win, but it's not a must win.
Elimination game. Yeah. What is it?
Elimination.
It's a really big game.
Yes.
Quote Lynch. What's Lynch call it?
But
let's call him.
You could look back, and even talking to some of the players last week at practice, every week is a very big game.
Of course.
Because when you look back, the next game is the biggest game, you could say.
Right.
I know, but sometimes you wonder if they see it that way. The way they came out onto the field for the Calgary game, you wonder if they knew that every game is that big. Because this game, kudos to not just Craig Dickinson, obviously, but the entire 44 men or whatever it is now, save for the fake on the John Ryan pass to Keenan LaFrance, which they stubbed their own toe on by LaFrance not being eligible. There was a guy that wrote in here earlier, Taylor Soley, on the Facebook page, wanted us to talk about that. Were you in the news conference after, Taylor?
I heard. I listened to it. And
oh, yeah. You're right. Your grandma's 80th birthday. Yeah.
It's such a stupid CFL intricacy that, right? Like,
yeah.
And it bugs me because that's not the way to win fans over by, oh, the amazing trick play. He wasn't eligible. And then him trying to explain that he was an eligible receiver on an NHL, blah, 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 right? It essentially was
gibberish.
Yeah,
but it's not new.
In my opinion.
it's not new.
But why does he need to declare eligible on that play? And we've seen time and time before. Number 67 has deemed eligible. You do the little
sign. You don't see it in hockey as much, but in football, coaches, and maybe in the CFL, it doesn't have to happen as much. But I know in high school football and university football, they have these conversations with the referees. And they'll say, hey, look, this is something we run. This is something we run. This is a trick play. And this is. So watch for it, because you would hate to be a coach running a trick play that you know is legal, that you've studied and you've done it the right way. And then a referees get confused and then they blow the play down because they want to get everything in order. Yep. And the other team has seen what you've done. So you explain to the referees, okay, we've got this play, we've got this play, and we've got this play up our sleeves, okay? But, yeah, the players still have to report their number when they play a position that's not, you know, eligible
for
that number.
Do you not think that had the Riders lost that game to BC on Saturday, Dickinson would have been given 40 lashes at the corner of Saskatchewan Drive and Albert Street? The fans would not have let him off the hook for that. But because they won, nobody's talking about it.
I don't think it was that big of a play in the game, in my opinion. If that was the fourth quarter and if that was the drive to win the game and they needed to...
Don't all the plays stack up for the same importance?
Well, you know what I mean. It was early. So no, I don't think that play determined the outcome of the game at all.
Okay.
that wasn't the one of the big five plays that you could say determined the game.
No, absolutely not.
And it wouldn't have been the other way. Maybe.
But so they expect perfection from the officials, but it's okay if the team lets them down.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
You know that by now.
You know that I'm just being devil's advocate here. But I also know these fans well enough to know that had they lost the game, that would certainly be one of the talking points this week from the fan base. Well, talking, how can we not talk Riders, Lions, and not bring on Dante Marsh, 11-year star corner for the BC Lions, Grey Cup champion, joins us this morning on video chat. There he is. He's looking at us. Dante, it looks like you're in California. Is that where you, where are you at today?
I'm in beautiful, sunny California working out. I think you can see me perspiring.
I figured, yes, absolutely. You played at Fresno State, and I see your Instagram, your feed and everything, where you're training in the gym. Where are you living now? And first of all, give CFL fans an update on what's up with your life.
Oh, I am in Stockton, California, which is about 45 minutes to an hour outside of the Bay Area, towards Fresno, so it's the Central Valley. This will be my fifth year coaching. I was a secondary coach at Contra Costa Junior College. In 2015, I was also the secondary coach at Modesto Junior College, 2016 and 17. Then I got to coach my son last year at Edison High School. And then now I'm the defensive coordinator at San Joaquin Delta Junior College in Stockton.
What are you rocking there? Some Skull Straight, Skull Berry, Skull Mint? What do you got?
The Copenhagen Straight.
Oh, the old school. The dirt, as some would say. All right, Dante. So we had Travis Lule on a little earlier. You would know a little thing or two like him about the 2011 BC Lions 1-5. Teams in the same hole now. First of all, what turned it around then, and what do you think they got to do now?
First of all, I'd like to apologize to T. Lou because I think it was my lack of getting in the end zone. They said I stepped out at the half-yard line when I picked the ball off against Montreal, and then the next play, he hurt his shoulder running it in. That year.
Ooh. Ooh.
So, or the year after. So I apologize to people about that. But no, I haven't really been keeping up with the CFL too much because I've been doing so much here, the camp stuff with the NFLPA and, you know, training a lot of athletes. But I, from time to time, I see things come across on Twitter, and let's just get one thing straight: that the 2011 team was unique. It was special. That won't be duplicated. It won't. The thing happened. Just amongst the players, we had a lot. We had a good nucleus of veterans, and that were like true BCs. I mean. And we were in my third year, so I had, 9-10 years with Banks, and then Ryan Phillips in my second year. So those were three stalwart DBs in a secondary where in the CFL it's constant turnover. We were able to keep a core group of guys together for a decade. And that leadership, not so much by talking, but by leading by example, helped shape a lot of those teams we had. And not to sound arrogant or bragging or boastful, I think we should have won a lot more Grey Cups. I've been to 3 and 1 2. I think we, but during my tenure there from 2004 to 2014, we should have at least got 5 of them.
Well, you got a couple rings in there, so you can't be upset about that. But what I talked to Travis about was you guys brought in Arlen Bruce III and Tad Cornegay at that 1-5 mark. And I don't know what changed internally from the outside. That's what it looked like changed. You're telling me there was far more to it than that.
No, and I don't want to downplay the addition of Arlen or Tad. I mean, you're talking about I'm not gonna say I think I know with the thing he did with the league. The guy's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. He's a big-time playmaker. I mean, I had years and years and years of having to face him on different teams that he played on, and then to get a chance to play with him as a teammate, it was a treat, just like David Sanchez. The guys that you play against, you know, a lot of trash talking and the competitive stuff, and then you get a chance to lace it up with them, and they're in your locker room, and they're your teammate, they're your brother now, and you can actually see their work. up close and personal. Arlen came and gave us a spark because at that point, all we had was G-Roy in terms of striking fear in opponents. And then you had a young Emmanuel Arsenal and things of that nature, which I think Manny wasn't even there that year. He was, you know, down here, you know, trying to make the NFL team. So I think what happened was Wally brought me in the office, Banks and a lot of us veteran guys, and he basically flat out said this. I think the coaches are, you know, we're doing our job. You know, it's not our fault. It's not our fault. And if you guys don't, you know, get this thing together and get it right, you know what's going to happen. And that's all he had to say. And then from that point on, I think that's when we turned the corner.
Wow. Ruling by fear. Wow. It works. It works.
I mean, personally, I don't think it was so much fear. I mean, I felt confident in me, like I could go and get on another team, but why? I had a chance to get paid what I was supposed to get paid for, shit, my whole career up there. And I think you could say a sense of uncertainty, because at that point, had he started doing the things that he claimed he was going to do, it would have shattered the team. And I think us as veteran guys, the guys who were, you know, on the upper side of the pay scale, we were going to go first. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say some fear to it, I guess.
We got one more for you. Darren Dupont, go ahead.
Yeah, something that we brought up earlier, and it's been an issue throughout the season, has been attendance in the CFL. It's interesting now that you're down in California. Has football in general noticed a drop in attendance? Has it been even a little bit of an issue down there as much as we're talking about it up here in Canada?
I would say in California, it's a thing where if you're not dominant or you're not winning, it's so much to do here. And this, I'm born and raised here. So you talk about, I'm a diehard Raider fan. So I'm old enough to have seen us, well, been around when they were still in Oakland before they went to LA, and was a fan while they was in LA. And then when they came back, watching the 49ers create the dynasty they had during the 80s, Candlestick a stay pack. But when you're not winning here, it's so much more to do in California per se that it's like, you know, okay, whatever. So attendance I think has been down. I think it's a West Coast thing, to be honest, because I know Texas is always all year round. You'll see people wearing jerseys, the whole South pretty much. When I was with the Titans, you know, people, diehard fans, even in the offseason, they were wearing the Steve McNair jerseys, rest in peace. They were wearing all the apparel. Here, it just really gets going when football season gears up.
Well, it's a fun topic. Dante, sounds like you got some kids there. We'll let you get back to what you do. I appreciate the visit this morning, man. Thanks for this, and hopefully we can do it again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm always available whenever y'all reach out. I'm more than happy to talk some ball with you guys, and hopefully BC can get it together. I mean, from the last few years, it kind of been a struggle, me seeing just stuff from afar. I just think that, you know, they got to get back to Lion football. You got to get the right guys in there. I know when I was there, Wally didn't too much dibble and dabble in free agency too much, except for like the Arlen Bruce, Tad Cornegie, and a couple guys here and there. But I guess it's just the luck of the draw. I think the league is far more competitive in terms of quality of rosters now than it was back when we were playing. I always thought that we collectively in BC always had, I think, the better roster. It always didn't show in terms of winning, you know, the Grey Cup year in and year out. But I always thought that we, from top to bottom in the organization, we always had a top organization. So I think other teams have caught up in regards to that. Like, it's good to see Hamilton playing well. It's good to see some of those other teams playing well. Ottawa back in the fold. And, you know, the West always been tough, as we know. So, you know, it's gonna be a tough job, but they just gonna have to turn it around and get the right guys in there and get guys that really love football.
Well, you better find a CFL channel down there. I know ESPN's carrying it, but the games are great, and they always say if it starts at Labor Day, then those that think that are missing a lot. Dante, thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Dante Marsh from Stockton, California. And I do remember filling in those charts for years and years and years. 31, Marsh on the corner, Fresno State. It's like, it's going to be a long day playing against this guy. He didn't miss games.
No.
Won two Grey Cups with the BC Lions. That's a guy that if the BC Lions have a Hall of Fame, he should probably be going in it. But I know we probably got to take a break here, right, Clark? Just a real quick one. The attendance topic is a good one for those that don't want to talk about actual football things. It's a broader, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It hits a broader segment of society. But he talked about the Titans. Darren, you and I were there for two games in December. Neither one was sold out. This is not a CFL. Well, it's a CFL problem, but it's not an only CFL problem.
Right.
And I guess Kevin Jesus tagging you and me on Twitter with that coach from Northwestern, his news conference video where he was asked about attendance at Northwestern games, college football. Have you seen the video, Taylor?
Yep.
I think it's a great thing. He goes, kids are on their phones and it's not important to them to go to games. But what he did say, the pearl in his two-minute video clip, was that we need, he's talking about football teams, need to make it more attractive to get people out to the park. The teams need to work a little harder to make it exciting for people to go. And lowering ticket prices doesn't hurt either. I don't know, with college football is a heck of a lot cheaper than pro football, but I think he's right.
Yep.
I love going, but I'm a guy that will always go. Back even in the early 90s when I was Connor's age, sitting over there on the couch, every dollar I had went to buying rider tickets. But you know what? They were only 25 bucks. Some, I think, were 19. I could never have afforded to go. As a guy working on a farm and part-time at a radio station, I didn't have the dough to be shelling out to be going to pro football game. I did then. It's far too expensive now. And a $22 hot dog? Forget it. More to come.
Okay.
We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Monday morning. Facebook Live, listen live at rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Monday morning in The Rod Peterson Show, episode number 36, coming your way from the bunker. Famous number 36s, Jerome the Bus Bettis, Pittsburgh Steelers great, Matthew Barnaby, and David Ridgway. Tomorrow, number 37. Put your thinking caps on, guys. Sports update. Shane Lowry's first career major wasn't even close. The 32-year-old Irishman captured the British Open by 6 strokes over Tommy Fleetwood. The tournament was held in Northern Ireland for the first time since 1951. Roy Halladay's widow, Brandy, fought back tears as she spoke at the former pitcher's induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame Sunday in Cooperstown. Halladay was just 40 when he died in a plane crash in November 2017. How about the media? Remember that? Painkillers were found in his system. Well, of course! How long was he a Major League Baseball pitcher for? Yeah, what do you think he's on?
Everything hurts.
How dumb can you be? As Lynch would say. Toronto Blue Jays are back at Rogers Centre after finishing a 10-game road trip with a 4-6 record. Toronto will host the Cleveland Indians in the first of 3 home games. Lefty Ryan Barocchi. Doesn't he work here?
Barocco.
Oh, Barocco. Scheduled to start tonight for the Jays.
37. Did Priest Holmes wear 37?
I could see your mind was racing.
Or was he 27?
Was racing on number 37s. Aaron Morey, former Pats backup goalie. Aaron Morey. Hey, you guys from the Pats podcast, if you ever want me on with my Pats stories, I got a million. Just saying. Blake from Kindersley writing in. He's a trucker up there. Hey, Rod, had an amazing time Saturday, and meeting you, Rod, was the highlight. Won't lie, I was fanboying when you knew me before I introduced myself. We sold some trips to Houston on that. At the tailgate, by the way.
Awesome.
Join us in Houston December 5th to the 10th. And I talked to Narco last week, too, by the way. Finished his last chemo treatment. He looks great. And it was a lot of chemo treatments. But Narco's doing great. And he's looking forward to seeing us and our friends coming to Houston on the trip. Did I say Denver? I meant Houston.
Well, they're playing Denver.
Yeah.
Danny Barrett, George Cortez, Don Narcisse.
I can't promise them all, but
no,
we're working on it.
That's cool. And what was the line that I heard? You can't be on all the trips if you don't make the first one. So it's a big deal.
Come on down to Houston. Maybe Willie Jefferson will be there. Oh, here's from producer Clark, number 37's Trevor Kidd. He looked it up. Famous 37's Trevor Kidd, Ian White, Carter Ashton. You should have just stopped at Trevor Kidd.
Famous as a light one.
Carter Ashton played here.
Right? It was awesome. I loved him. He was a Clydesdale, and I mean that in a good way. He was a thoroughbred, but a big one. But never lasted in the National Hockey League. No. Caden Hardy, what do you think about the snowflakes making a story out of Gaynor being Gaynor to the stuffed lion? For those that don't know, animal rights activists thinking that Gaynor's stomping all over that stuffed lion, throwing him around. Is cruelty to animals, I guess. Like he shot a lion and posed with it or something, like the couple from Edmonton. Now that's egregious. Throwing around a stuffed toy? Get a hold of yourself. How about Dante Marsh throwing out spit, like chew every 30 seconds in his interview, by the way?
You want guys to be themselves on the show. I wear a suit on TV every night, but I can come here and wear whatever I want.
This is what you wear during the day.
I wear this during the day. Dante Marsh can have a rip in all day, and he can come on the show.
A big lipper.
And do what he wants.
That's
what makes this show good, is that he can be himself.
We encourage people to be themselves on this show. And I'm sure Abu's watching from Nicaragua this morning. And I'll never forget it. As long as I live, he looked around in the lights. He goes, I love it here. And this was after we went off the air. We want people to be themselves. Are you pointing at the
Brian? Pats? Well, no, Brian's coming. Just another 37. Patrice Bergeron. I don't think he's got the spell check installed.
He's
on
got
the
autocorrect.
It's Patricia. No, it's Patricia Bergeron.
Well, I like the Pats podcast guys. Josh Harding.
Oh, yeah.
Hards.
Yes.
And yeah, we'll be in touch. I remember freaking out on his parents one time at an airport hangar or waiting gate. Sorry, not a hangar. They wanted him to. I don't mind telling this story because I don't care. Enough times passed. They thought that Josh should be moved, traded at the deadline because the Pats were terrible and he deserved better. And I snapped. I'm like, what? He was drafted here by your hometown team. You got to watch him every night. He got to live in your house. What do the Pats owe him? Just went off. Somebody like the coach, Rod, come over here. What do you mean we owe you? I hate that. Corey, hey, I'm sure they're over. Harding's still here in town. So please don't write in hate mail. Actually, if you do, call the boss. Taylor, speaking of great interviews, Dante Marsh was obviously a great interview. Obviously a go-to for Vancouver media back in the day. Who's the writer's go-to for you guys now?
Right now, it's got to be Cody Fajardo.
Really? He's that good, huh?
He is good. He can handle the media. He's very honest. It's refreshing to see him not go on the defensive. There's a lot of players, when they have a bad game, go on the defensive. Like, we're trying to attack them almost or trying to stir something up.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes the blame.
He's humble about
during
it.
That bad game, and he's humble about it through and through. So,
do you think he's the next one?
100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think this guy can... He's put his time in. And I had a good conversation with Mike Riley on Friday before the game. Mike didn't necessarily play with Cody, but he's talked to Travis Lule about him. And they both were backups in the league. Mike Riley was a backup in the league for a few years. He learned the league. Cody Fajardo was a backup for 3 years. He learned the league. He learned under some good quarterbacks. And Mike Riley did the same thing. Then when he got his opportunity, Mike Riley wasn't a star in his first year. Cody Fajardo, he's had 3 good games and 1 bad. He's bounced back from adversity. And everything that he's shown through these first few starts show me that he can be the next quarterback.
Yeah.
Lead this team for the next decade.
Putting in the time, that's the biggest tell. Every great quarterback, for the most part, is put in their time, learning the league.
It's interesting, everybody's writing in now about how great Fajardo is with the media, which doesn't really matter, but it does kind of matter. Like, the reporters, they don't care for Zach, right? I don't want to put you on this. Okay, some don't.
Some don't.
Some don't. Yeah.
He has been defensive at times when we're not necessarily...
Trying to get at him.
But Zach's a nice guy. And
for sure.
He
is a nice guy.
That's where I think it's unfair.
Charleston Hughes is.
He didn't come
really
to
good.
Do interviews. He came to win games.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Charleston's always been really good. My favorites over the years. But recently, Daron Carter and Bakari Grant, because the lockers were side by side. And so they often jumped in on each other's interviews and poked fun. Those were kind of the off color, the humor. Kind of lighter side of the interviews.
Solomon Elamimian has turned out to be one of the... And we knew that when he came here, but now that he's playing and now that we've got a chance to speak with him after practice, he's probably the best guy on the defensive side of things.
Lastly, you weren't at the game of your grandma's 80th birthday, but when you heard the fans, not all of them, but some of the fans booed Daron Carter, audible for sure. Does that surprise you or not? It surprised me.
No, I think Daron, you know... Is Daron, when he, people love him, people hate him. Like, he didn't need, you often hear people booing when a guy leaves on bad terms. I don't think Daron necessarily left on bad terms. They just didn't agree to sign him again or didn't want him
back.
They
cut him, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything to the fans.
Oh, yeah,
That's why
they,
I was surprised.
They cut him last season. I forgot about that. Yep. Then he went and signed in BC. But there's people that like Daron and that don't like Daron. So it's not how he left. It's just his...
The way he is.
The way he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised at all.
Taylor, you have an open invite here anytime.
Appreciate it.
Don't go away, everybody. We've got the overtime segment coming up next. We're going into overtime. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live, rodpeterson.com. Podcast at Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Employee pricing is back.
You get to pay what I pay and the whole entire pre-owned inventory.
Plus, we're Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned store, right here in Regina.
This 2018 Nissan Rogue SV all-wheel drive is employee priced at just $22,999 plus tax. Or check out this 2011 Jetta Highline Diesel. It's employee price, just $11,999 plus tax.
You pay what we pay!
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the overtime segment here on the program. Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for everybody who chimed in on the Facebook wall today, the Prairie Mobile text line. We've got our poll up for the next 24 hours. For Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, who won the trade, the Oilers or the Flames on the weekend? Milan Lucic for James Neal. I say both teams lost, and that's not even tongue-in-cheek. But our viewers and voters and listeners are saying the Oilers won it. 87.3% say the Oilers won it. So Ken Holland, 1-0 in trades for the Edmonton Oilers. I just think James Neal, four teams in 4 years, that's not a guy that... other teams clearly want, but they didn't want Luch either. So I guess either they both won or they both lost. Tomorrow's program, Marshall Hamilton and Wes Cates for sure. Clark's working on some video chat, guests as well. But if it's just Marshall Hamilton and Wes Cates, we're good. We can go deep on the Riders' must-win game for them again in BC. But if there's a term bigger than must-win, that's what the BC Lions are facing on Saturday. I'm just going, oh, this is stuff we didn't even get into. You see these new Alouettes owners? Peter and Jeff Lenkov. Have you followed that story at all?
Not close enough yet.
One, they're two brothers from Laval. One's a sports lawyer in LA, and his brother is a movie runner.
Showrunner.
Showrunner. What is that?
A showrunner is, that'd be me on this program, ish. A showrunner, the short version is they run the show. They deal with the producers. Everything runs through the showrunner. They're in control.
Are you rich enough to buy a CFL team?
They're not the producers of the show. Like, they're not the production company.
Does a showrunner have enough money to buy a CFL team? That's what I'm asking.
Traditionally, I would say no.
Oh, so his brother's the money man.
Or he's got stake in the actual production company.
You read my, I didn't write it, but the column on rodpeterson.com, Out of the Tunnel. There's an interview with those guys on there this morning. And the one, Jeff Lenkov, says he's just a fan. He loves being around the players. I read that and I'm like, great. Super fan. But hey, if his check cashes,
all good.
Clark's telling me, introduce Connor, please. I was getting to that, Clark. Thanks. Can you hear him giggling on the other side of the wall here? Connor Wallman's here, RP show intern. How you doing, Connor?
I'm good. I made it. I made it on the show.
Yes.
That's a big day.
Yeah, big day.
But you've been here over a week. We had to break him in, folks. What's your opening week been like here on the program?
Fun. Get to shadow you guys. It's lots of fun.
What have you learned?
See what you guys do. Learned, I don't know, like a lot. Yeah, too much to say.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you've learned that being an RP show intern leads straight to success in the industry, because don't say we don't know, nothing's done.
Yeah.
But we might have you a job already in the business.
Took a week.
So applications, I don't know where we're sending them yet, but applications are open for the next intern on the program.
That's exciting.
Super excited. I'll take any opportunity I can get. So
tell us, well, it looks like you might be on your way out of town already, but tell us, tell our viewers a little bit about Connor Wallman. What should they know?
Just graduated grade 12, Miller High School, just graduated. taking a year off and just working. Yeah, mm-hmm. 17-year-old, birthday's in December, so turning 18 and...
A late birthday.
Yeah.
Just like me. Birthday. I graduated at 17, too, went off to broadcast college and had a job pretty soon. Okay, favorite NHL team?
New York Rangers.
Favorite NFL team?
Patriots.
Favorite CFL team?
Riders.
Favorite athlete?
Undecided.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? He doesn't take long to think about these things. Quick on his feet.
Yeah. He's going
to
be good.
And have you learned any new swear words around here since you've been here in the last week?
A lot.
Yeah. A lot of new swear words.
That's what I learned here.
All right. Connor, thanks for having us. And I appreciate all you do for us, man. I hope you're having
awesome.
Fun.
So much fun. Thank you.
All right. Thanks to Taylor Shire, who's over there on the sponsor's couch. Anything else, Dupes, before we wrap up the OT segment?
No, it's great. Great show. I'm looking forward to the week.
Yeah, it's going to be a big week. It's going to be a very big week. The Rod Peterson Show is making the CFL great again, wouldn't you say?
So good. You know, and it's funny, the attendance thing comes up. I want to get into that a little bit tomorrow. I've just got a couple of thoughts on that.
I feel like we've barely scratched the surface on CFL talk. So thanks today to Travis Lule. Michael Landsberg was awesome back in hour one. Dante Marsh, Connor Dupes, and our crew behind this wall, which Paul built. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Rod Peterson Show.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.